Welcome to the Hot Girl Hotline. This is our first episode. I'm your host, Madison. This is our guest, Jessica.
Hi.
We are going to start out with a little girl talk story time today. So I've got some crazy stories to tell, and I want to take you guys along for the ride.
It's going to be exciting. You want to start from the beginning?
I started the beginning of my life mostly in Sonoma County, California. And Boulder, Colorado. Boulder and Northern California, I think they're like the most hippie places of the United States. I didn't go to high school for my senior year. I graduated within like 2 months. I just put myself on independent study and I saved up all my money. I was waitressing and I saved up all my money. So my whole plan was to move to San Diego. And then I moved out the day after I graduated high school. Compared to Northern California, San Diego feels like Miami. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, I've been to San Diego. It's actually fun.
Yeah. Compared to LA and Miami, it's a little boring.
It's chill. Yeah. Super chill.
But yeah, compared to Northern California, it's really fun.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I loved the surfers of San Diego, the cute surfers. Like one of my first days of living in San Diego, we went to the beach in Carlsbad, State Beach, and this like cutest pro surfer ever came up to me and started talking to me. I ended up dating him for like a year or two. He was like the cutest thing, like natural six pack, like everything. It was like,
actually, I had a stage in my life where I was obsessed with skateboarders.
They're so
cute.
And
I was in Estonia, so there's really no skateboarders at all. And then there's this news that, oh, this guy, Ryan Sheckler, is coming to Estonia. And it was like all over the tabloids. And I was like, oh my God, who's this hottie? Like, I never heard from him because America for me was like a whole different world. So anyways, he ended up coming to Estonia and I met him. And I was like so obsessed with him for a year. But
yeah, skateboarders, so when you're like in your teen era, it's like, I don't think there's anything better. Me and my girlfriends, my roommates, like we got this job working at trade shows, like skateboard trade shows. And so I really liked one of these skateboarders that was sponsored by the brand. He was like a little bit old at this point for like being a skateboarder. Like, I didn't care. He was so hot. He had like long hair past his shoulders. And I thought that was hot. I don't know. I was delusional. But I was going to beauty school at this time. So I went to beauty school in San Diego. I think he was like 35. I was probably like 20, like in his mid 30s. I don't know exactly. And I'm like, okay, this is bad. Like, he doesn't have a car. He like broke my heart. He doesn't give a shit. Like, he still calls me all the time. I'm like, the ship has sailed, man.
Yeah.
But
long time ago.
Long time ago. Yeah. So then I had this epiphany and like I made these standards for myself. I'm like, whoever the next guy that I get with, like, he has to make more money than me. It doesn't matter.
He has to have a home.
Yeah, he has to have a home. That'd be nice. He has to have a car. Like, I don't care, like, how much more money he makes than me, but he has to, like, make more and have an apartment that's a little nicer than mine or have a car that's a little nicer than mine. Those are my set standards. And I was like, I'm not touching anyone until I get this. So I broke up with the skater guy and I decided to move to LA. When I was in beauty school, I did this internship at the Dove Salon in Santa Monica. And like, I fell in love with LA. I'm like, this is where I want to be a hairdresser. So then applied at some salons in LA, like Hollywood, Beverly Hills. And I got this job at the nicest salon that I applied in Beverly Hills. It was like right next to Rodeo Drive. So I moved up to LA and like, I'm still not talking to any guys. Like, I was like 21, 22 at this point.
Was that your first time in LA?
That was my first time really spending time in LA. 2 weeks when I was interning there, it was my first time like staying there and I loved it, especially for doing hair. Like being a hairdresser, I think LA is like the spot to be. Yeah. So I got this job in LA and Lauren, my best friend that I met in middle school, had lived in LA. So I used her as a model for like my hair auditions. To get a job at a hair salon, you have to like do a model's like blow dry or haircut or something. So I used my old bestie from eighth grade as my model and I got the job at this like really nice salon in Beverly Hills. So
how old were you?
Huh?
How old were you?
I was 22.
22, wow.
Yeah, I was 22. And I was actually started working at two salons. Like I started at this one in Hollywood and then this other one, the really nice one in Beverly Hills. And like when you first start working at a salon, you have to be an assistant, which like for like 6 months and like learn the style, like learn from the owners. So I was just assisting at both ones. And then the owner of the Beverly Hills salon found out that I was working at this Hollywood one and he called me into his office and he was like a really intimidating guy, like gorgeous, tall Persian man, like famous hairdresser, like called me into the office and he's like, I heard you're working at this salon in Hollywood. He's like, I looked at their website, like the most expensive haircut they have is $100. And he's like, your starting out rookie haircut is $100. He's like, how are you ever going to make money to live in LA at the salon? And I'm like, okay, you got a point there. So he's like, who do you want to choose? I was like, okay, I'll choose you. So I'd been working there for 2 months. I started working there in August when I was 22. We had a lot of like celebrity clients, CEOs, like the celebrity managers, mm-hmm. agents, all of this stuff. So I was like used to having like big shots in there all the time. And then this guy comes in and like the second I like pulled him over, I saw him like look me up and down, like check me out like really hard. I'm like, oh yeah. My God, this guy wants to fuck me. But like, I'm just like, you know, not giving it that energy. Like this kind of shit happens. Like I was like,
did you like him?
So as soon as he sits down, he opens up like this LA real estate mm-hmm. magazine and he looks at it and he's like, this house is mine, all these fucking houses are mine. And these are like big
yeah.
houses. So me and Ellie, the owner of the salon, are like, oh, cool, what do you do?
Did you believe him?
We're kind of like feeling yeah, it out, right? So okay. we're like, oh, cool, what do you do? Like, we're busy. And mm-hmm. he's like, I'm a real estate developer. I have a house that has a big open house in 2 weeks. I'm asking $65 million for it. And it has a hair salon in it. And I need two girls to stand in the hair salon during the open house to make it like a perfect. Blow dry bar. So like, he's like, could you and like a friend from work, like stand in the hair salon, like, and curl people's hair during the open house? Like, he said, like, in the open house, there's going to be, like, a girl, like, in a bubble on the pool. Like, they're going all out. Yeah. It's a $65 million house. So he asked me, and I was like, okay. So he's like, I'll give you guys, like, $300, like, to stand there during the open house and, like, do this.
Perfect.
So I was like, okay, cool. Okay. So I asked one of my girlfriends to do it at the salon. And so we go. Mm-hmm. I ended up being with this guy for the next 7 years of my life.
Damn.
So me and my friend go, we're like in her pickup truck, like, you know, like mm-hmm. we worked right next to this house. The house was on Mapleton, like right in Beverly Hills, right next to the Playboy Mansion, like Holmby Hills. So we go in her truck like after work and we're like, oh my God, this neighborhood. And like there was a valet and we're like, we can't park this truck in the valet. So we just like parked it on the side of the road. And then I called
5 blocks away.
5 blocks. God, okay. So then I called the developer mm-hmm. and I'm like, hey, Niall, we're here. So the developer comes out. He's wearing this like velvet Armani suit. Like he hugged me. And then I'm like, okay, like he wants me, mm-hmm. but I'm going to like keep a distance. Because my whole goal at this point was to, like, grow my clientele. Like, I could make really good money at the salon. Yeah. I was, like, 2 months in. I had 4 months, like, left to, like, grow my clientele. Well. So we're, like, keeping it professional. Niall goes and shows us around this house. And me and my friend Ashley were, like, jaw-dropped. Like, there was an indoor swimming pool. There was, like, bikini models, like, hired to, like, sit at the indoor swimming pool and just, like, pose. We're, like, what is going on? And we're, like, talking. We're, like, who's gonna buy this house? Like Gwen Stefani? Like we were thinking like celebrities. Yeah. He laughed. He's like, what? No celebrities could afford this house. We're like, damn. What? Like this is too expensive for a celebrity? Like we thought like Gwen Stefani like, was no like idea. The richest person yeah. we could think of. We're like, who's gonna buy this? He's like, probably some Saudi person you've never heard of. And
someone ended up buying it?
Someone ended up buying it for about like $65 million. And we're like looking around this house and there's this artist named Retina. Like, I don't know who he was, but my friend Ashley did. She's like, that's the biggest Retina painting I've ever seen. And she's like, oh my God, that's Retina, the artist standing next to it. We're like jaw dropped everywhere we look. There was an operating room in the house, a dentist room in the house, Whoa. A massive hair salon in the house. We're like curling all these like mm-hmm. people's hair. And a lot of the ladies lived and worked in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. So he was like, give your guys' cards out. So we had our cards. I'm like talking to all these new like potential clients like this. And then Niall would come in and like introduce like certain people to us. Like he was like definitely the host of the house. Like he'd introduce like, he was like, this guy is the main investor of this house, of all my real estate projects. And he'd just gotten off his private jet with his girlfriend. I curled her hair. She's like, I'm so glad that you guys are here. Like all my curls fell out. Then afterwards, after the certain time that he said, he's like, just stay for these few hours and then go. So me and Ashley, after that time went, we were like, okay, like, bye, Niall. Thanks. That was fun. We'll see you. And he was like, no, you guys aren't leaving. Get a drink and stay till everyone leaves. And we're like, shit, okay.
No problem.
Yeah, so we're like, okay. So we like go get a drink and we sit and then everyone leaves except for like Niall and like five of his friends and like the bikini girls that were like laying by the indoor pool during this. And then there's like all this Cristal. So we just started getting like wild, like pouring Cristal down everyone's like throats, like getting so wild.
That's when the real party started.
This is when the real party started. And this is like a massive house. Me and my friend were like washing all these guys' hair, like giving them haircuts, like in the salon, just like getting so wild. And then the client, Niall, was like chasing me down the hallways, like, come on, kiss me, make out with me. And I'm like, oh no, no. Like, you know, like I'd rather keep this guy as like my client that's gonna keep coming in and referring people than like some like one off like make out with this guy and like nothing happens. So me and Ashley leave and we both stayed at my apartment and then we had to work the next day. Super busy at the salon. It was probably like a Saturday or something the next day. And then like throughout the day, like I couldn't find my phone the next morning. Like I was so hungover. We had clients first thing. I really didn't care. Like I cared about getting to the salon. Like I was in it with my hair job. Like it was really important to me. It's like I wasn't even thinking about it. I'm like, I'll just find my phone
later.
Like,
yeah.
Later. Just go. Yeah. So we go to work and then my salon was like, Madison, you have a call. So I answered and it was Niall. He's like, Madison, you left your phone in the hair salon drawer. I was like, oh shit. Oh. And I was like, I did not want it to seem like I left it there like on purpose.
On purpose, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. No. I had no idea. So he's like, I have my kids at the Palomar Hotel in Brentwood. You can come have lunch with me or I can just leave it at the front desk. I was like, oh my God, I would rather like buy a new phone than have this guy think I left it there on purpose. Like I know he's seen it all with like girls trying to like hit on him and all this stuff. Also, I was trying to figure out like, is this client guy like married the real estate developer? He had on no wedding ring at this open house. Mm-hmm. He introduced me to like all his best friends, to his investors. No ring. Like
nothing.
I know for sure. Like if he was married, he would have a ring on for that night. Yeah. For the open house of a $65 million house.
100%.
The wife would come in and introduce herself or something. None. Nothing of the sort. No ring. So we're like, okay. And then he's like, I have my kids and we're at the Palomar Hotel. So I'm like, oh, okay. I think he's probably like going through like a divorce or something. Cause like no ring, no wife in sight. I met all the friends, the investors, all this. So I'm like, okay. I was trying to like assess the situation. So I'm like, okay, this makes sense. Like he in a hotel, like with his kids for this time. I'll just like pick up the phone.
Did he live there or did he stay there?
No, he was just staying it. So I'm like assessing the guy and like I go pick up my phone, whatever. And then he texts me after and he's like, well, we have to like go out to dinner or something. I'm like, okay, like why not? This like the last guy that I was talking to was the pro skateboarder that didn't have a car and like lived at his parents' house and was 35.
From this to that.
A huge jump. Like, yeah. I'm not like touching anyone. I'm busy as hell. Like I'm working on progressing my career. So I'm like, okay, like I'm not hooking up with anyone anyways. Like I'll go out with this guy. So we ended up like going out sometimes and like it was fun and like no wedding ring. And like he would like go back to like a house or something. So like I'm like assessing this, but we would just go out for like some dinners, things like that.
How'd it go?
It was good. I started to really like him.
That's what happened.
At first I was like, he's kind of a douche. Like he's like, whatever. But little things, like I started to like him. Like I wasn't taking him very seriously. And he's like, so what do you do? And I was like, oh, like I like to party. Like I was giving him some like shitty answer. Cause like, I thought he was like superficial and like didn't give a shit. And he looked at me like perplexed. He's like, you like to party? That's like a hobby. And I was like, oh shit, like this guy is like,
actually cares,
actually legit. I was like, oh no, like I'm like really into nature. I like to hike. I like to read. Like I'm really working on growing my career. I was like, I want to be like the world's richest hairdresser. And he was like, oh well, you can't be like rich as fuck if you're just doing hair. You have to start a product line. I was like, oh shit. So he would give me like cool
good advice.
Yeah. So I kept that in my head all the time. I'm like, okay, besides just owning a salon or doing hair, like I have to start a product line. It's like, we got like kind of like deep in this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy's cool. Still never kiss him or anything. Like, I don't want to do anything like that. I'm still keeping him as my client.
Yeah.
And we would not go out like frequently, but like twice a month or something. And I was still like growing in my hair salon biz and like living my life in LA. I lived in Hollywood.
Do you guys text every day or call?
We would text just... like, no, not every day, but he was definitely like there. He was pretty like persistent. And like, I let it be known that I'm like not looking for a boyfriend. I'm looking for clients.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also like he would say like douchey shit, but be cool. Like I lived in Hollywood, like on Ivar, like a tiny bit up in the mountain, like in the hill, like Hollywood Hills. I lived in a good area. And when he picked me up for the first time, he's like, ew, I can't believe I'm in this shitty neighborhood. I was like, excuse me? Like, this is, I live in the Hollywood Hills and I'm 22 years old. This is not shitty. He's like, it's like a B+ neighborhood. I'm like, oh damn. My God. I was like, well, what's your neighborhood? He's like, A+. I live next to the Playboy Mansion. Okay. All right, whatever. Okay. And then he took me to this condo that he developed, like the whole condo building on La Cienega and Santa Monica or Sunset. And so it's already cool. He developed this whole like condo building. And then he took me to like the penthouse that was like his. He shared it with his investor. And like he pointed to this big painting, like a huge painting. He's like, do you like that? I was like, yeah, it's really pretty. And he's like, I painted it. I couldn't find anything big enough to fit this wall. So I'm like, holy shit, I fucking love artists. I'm starting to think he's really cool. And then he didn't call me for like a month or something. Once. And then he was like, come on, we're going to dinner at Laurel Hardware. Like his friend owned Laurel Hardware, like cool restaurant in LA. And like, I hadn't really been going to that many cool places. Cause like I was just invested in working. I wasn't dating anyone. Like I had a lot on my plate. So, I was like, okay, I'm going to dress really hot and I'm not going to hook up with him. Cause like, I haven't heard from him in a month. So I go out with him and like, I did look really cute. And then he was like, I'm not dropping you off tonight. Like, he had like all these different houses, like cool houses, and they're all like 50 million, 40 million. He's like, we can go to any house you want. House that we went to with the operating room. He's like, we can go to this one or this one or this one. Choose your house, but I'm not taking you back home. And I'm like, no, like I'm going back home. So we went to that house, the $65 million house with the, this was like 3 months later. So I guess he hadn't sold it with all this stuff. And it was just me and him running around this house. We're in the indoor swimming pool. It's like kind of when we became like, more official and started like for real dating.
Yeah.
So I went from the pro skater 35-year-old to this real estate developer and I'm like, how old are you? He gave me some like answer. I think I was like, and I'm 22, so I thought like even late 30s was really old.
Yeah.
I think I was like, I decided that he was in his 30s. He like gave me a vague answer. I'm like late 30s, and he's like, yeah. So that's where we left it. So I'm like thinking like, okay, if I was just with a pro skater that's like 35, I can get like, this guy's a little too old for me, but he's like 4 years older than this fucking loser I was just with. So I'm like, okay. It's like, I like got myself into this thing where I'm like, I like this guy. He's a little too old for me. I couldn't tell exactly what's going on. Then we started like dating for real. I would hang out with my best friend Lauren all the time.
And what happened?
That's pretty much what I was doing. So this is where it gets crazy. So we're like dating for probably like a year and it's like cool. Sometimes I wouldn't hear from him for like a few weeks or whatever. So I'm like, are you like with a wife or like, is there something?
Yeah, like what's going on?
And he was like, okay, look, we got back together for a month or whatever, but like we're not good. Mm-hmm. Like we're like, we have two kids. And I could tell that he wasn't fully married, but there was something. Because he would drop me off at home the next morning after we stayed together. And then like his ex-wife would call and be like, hey, you have to pick up the kids. Or like, can you pick them up at this time instead of this time? So I knew for a fact they were like, had like custody of the kids at different times. Or they weren't like living together. Mm-hmm. And like he had visitation with the kids these days. You can tell it's like pretty much fair game. But like at any point he could go back. So we've been together for like a year. And then we were like planning like a trip together, like our first trip together. I think it was like near Christmas time. And I was like, look, are you going to like get back with your wife like for Christmas? Like, just tell me, because like I'm starting to like catch feelings basically. And he's like, no, I'm getting my own like condo or something, because he had all these development houses stuff. So he's like, no, I'm not going to. Let's go away for New Year's Eve. So we're like planning this New Year's Eve getaway thing. And like right before Christmas, and then I didn't hear from him like really. And then I was like, oh shit. Like, I bet he like probably like is like got back with his like wife, and like that's fine. Like, I would rather him like be with his family than me. So I didn't hear from him or anything. And then he messages me and I'm like, well, are we going away for New Year's? And he was like, no, you know our relationship isn't like that. I have a wife. He never said that to me in my life. Like, my heart dropped. I was like, I was broken. Oh my God. So I blocked him on everything because he'd never said that to me. Like, I had my suspicions, but you know, like when you want to believe something, you do. Yeah. You know, like, so I'm like, I could tell they were breaking up or broken up, but sometimes, but I could tell they like would get back together sometimes. So I'd never heard him like say, like, I have a wife. Like, he'd never said that. I'm like, I like, my heart was on the floor. Like, I had just invested this like year.
Yeah.
Like, basically with this guy, I was like, oh my God. So I blocked him on everything. Mm-hmm. And then I got an email from him. I'm like, oh my God. So I see the email and he was like, Madison, I'm in love with you. I'll leave my wife if you feel the same. And I was like, ew.
Too late.
Yeah, ew. So what I wrote back, I was like, I don't know what you're going through in your personal life, but like, you can leave me out of it. Like, that's fucking disgusting. Mm. Like, I'll leave my wife if you feel the same. Like, what? No. Like, excuse me? Like, I don't want someone's fucking husband. Mm-mm. And I'm thinking, I'm like, is this guy crazy? Like, his wife is going to see this. Yeah. Like, I know. A few days later, the wife finds out, saw the email, but I'm like, I'm glad that I wasn't like, yeah,
what did you respond?
I responded, I don't know what you're going through in your personal life, okay, but leave me out of
it. Leave me out of it.
Yeah, so at least my response was like, I'm not like trying to do this because I'm like, she's going to find this and I don't want this fucking guy. They go through like a for real breakup. Like, she called me, the wife called me, and she was like, you sound really young. I'm like, yeah, I'm 22, or I was 23 at this point. And she's like, do you know how old Niall is? I was like, he told me he's in his 30s. And she's like, no, he's 47. So ooh. I'm like grossed out at this point. I'm with this old guy that lied to me about his age, lied about like the wife. And I'm like grossed out. Somehow he manages to like get back in my life. And then that's when we become like really official. Like, a few months after that, like, I moved in with him.
Mm-hmm. Wait, the kids were living with him?
Yeah, they would be half and
so
half.
You all lived together?
Basically, but I didn't meet the kids for, like, a year after this. Because, like, my parents were, like, never together. And, like, I always, like, sided with my dad. Because, like, whenever I was with my dad, he would never have a girlfriend around. When I was with my mom, she would have whatever boyfriend around, her husband. And I was like, ew, sometimes I want to hang out with my mom without this fucking guy around. Mm-hmm. And, like, I respected my dad because, like, when it was me and him, it was me and him. So I, like, had that in my mind. I'm like, I don't want to, like, live with you and your kids. Like, if you have your kids, you need to be with them, not, like, with your girlfriend and them. So I didn't meet the kids for, like, probably, like, a year after that.
That's good.
Yeah. So, like, I still kept my own apartment. And then I would, like, stay with him when he didn't have them. Mm-hmm. And then when I met the kids, like, I would still, like, hang out with them sometimes. Like, I would go back home. But we end up being together for a long time. So he's like, come on, like, get rid of your apartment and just, like, move in with me. Mm-hmm. Kind of, like, hard to resist when they have a big house. But
yeah, right.
I was, like, I was resisting it for a really long time.
And for good reasons.
For good reasons, yeah. And then he was like, he's like, okay, I'm getting a house. So he was like buying this house. And, I was like, I still need to have my own apartment. So he's like, okay, he got a house in West Hollywood and that's not even a good area for kids. Mm-hmm. So he's like, how about this? I'm going to get a kid house in Bel Air in a guard gated community. Cause he had the kids half time. Mm-hmm. So he would have the kids at the kid house. And then when we didn't have the kids, we would be in the West Hollywood house. So he's like, when I'm with the kids, you just stay in the West Hollywood house. And then when I'm with the kids, I'll have the kid house. Mm-hmm. We ended up all just like being together all the time. But the kid house was so cool. I decorated it. They had like a 6-foot high skate ramp, like a video arcade, like a full arcade, like beanbags everywhere. And like a huge movie theater, like filled with beanbags. Like the kids were skateboarders. So like it was really cool.
Oh, did you give her apartment away finally?
I gave my apartment away.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, it was fair enough. Whatever. And we were like traveling around a lot and everything. And we would hang out with Lauren all the time.
Big happy family.
Big happy family. Like, so ridiculous. It was really fun.
It sounds fun.
Seeing having, like, kids around. Mm-hmm. So, like, kind of like a stepmom vibe.
very young stepmom.
Yeah, a very young stepmom. It was, like,
blended right in.
Yeah. Like, the little one wanted these, like, Sean Wotherspoon Nikes. Mm. They were really cute. And they were, like, hard to get, like, sold out. Like, one day I took him down to Melrose to this, like, vintage store, and he saw this, like, random guy, like, wearing these Sean Wotherspoon Nikes. And he's like, Madison, can you ask that guy if I can buy his shoes? I was like, no, that's weird. Like, you don't just ask someone to buy their shoes. These are like real spoiled LA kids. They've never lived in a house without a movie theater. So he's like, please ask him if I can buy his shoes. It's like, I had to go up to this random guy on Melrose.
You did?
Yeah, I was like, hey, the kid wants Best to like buy your ever. Shoes. And like, he just laughed. He's like, what? But like, the kid like wants them. The guy was like, no, he thought it was funny. And
how old were they?
When we met, the oldest was 11, and when we broke up, the oldest was 17, and the youngest was 3 years younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like, fun age.
Fun age, yeah. I would take him to the skate park because like their dad had a Rolls Royce or a Sprinter van with a driver. Mm-hmm. So like, that's embarrassing shit to get dropped off at a skate park in. Like, if you're trying to be cool, they're trying to like act cool.
Fit in.
So they're like, Madison, can you drop me off at the skate park? I like your car better. I just had like a Mercedes or a Tesla.
That's cute.
So I'd like drop him off at the skate park and they'd be like, hey, the guys at the skate park think you're hot. I'm like, yeah, they probably do. Like, I don't know if they realized I was like really young. Like, I don't think they understood that.
I think they were just thinking of you as a stepmom.
I know. I'm like
they didn't realize that there's actually like a few years difference.
Yeah, like how I didn't realize the dad was like so much older. They just thought I was like old. So I started my swimwear line, kind of like easing out of doing hair. I've always designed clothes. So I would just go downtown LA and like pick out fabric. Mm-hmm. And then I found a sample maker and then like a whole manufacturing. So like I started this whole swimwear brand on my own downtown LA. I would use my friend Lauren as a fit model. She lived downtown LA. So it just kind of like happened naturally.
That's good.
Yeah. And the swimwear line, it takes a really long time to get these things off the ground. So like I was working on that for probably like 2 years before I was able to launch it. Like I would just have little like samples and then try those and see what worked and see what people liked. So like I was working on like interior designing the houses and my swimsuit line and like
staying busy.
Yeah.
No partying. a little here and there.
Party. Yeah. And like,
so what happened?
I pretty much stopped doing hair at that point. I was like done with that, but like I always do like a little bit of hair still. The ex started building like all these crazy houses, like bigger houses, and then like
got bigger and bigger,
and then like he would sell them a lot of times to like Saudis, like in Beverly Hills the Saudis spend like August there because Saudi, like Dubai, it's too hot in August. So they'll go to Beverly Hills. Also like when I was doing hair, like Saudi season for hair was good because they'll like spend a lot of money on their hair, and like even though they wrap their hair up, like
they still do it, I know.
Hair color. Like our hair salon had a top floor and a bottom floor, so like the Saudi women could like go upstairs and like have their hair done, whatever, blonde or anything, and like give them the most beautiful blowout, and they'd like wrap it up after. I'm like, okay. So they stopped buying these like super fancy houses that my ex was building. He'd build like $50 million houses, like $60 million houses, and like no one's buying them. Ooh. And like it started to to get really stressed out. Yeah, started to crash. And like he has a lot of loans to do this. Mm-hmm. Like he would make money when the house sells. Yeah. So then he would have to like get it more loans, and like the projects take like a few years each. So like they started to pile up, like all these like crazy houses, like piling up. So he had like 5 or 7 houses, like $20 million to like, he was asking $500 million for one.
Damn.
So that's like a lot of stress to be
under. A lot of money, a lot of stress.
And he's like getting all these loans. And then he'd never really partied. Like he was like born and raised in LA, but like he was like busy building his career. And then when he turned 50, I don't know if it was like a midlife crisis combined with like piling on like all these houses and all of this debt. He was like, I want to go to Burning Man. And I was like, ew, this guy is not going to like Burning Man.
Not the Burning Man.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm from Boulder and Sonoma County, Mendocino County. Like, I've been seeing these dirty hippies go to Burning Man my whole life. And, like, I would have to do hair for the Burning Man people. And like, I can't wash my hair for a week. Give me braids. So I'm like, ew, this fancy man is going to hate Burning Man. Turns out he fucking loved it.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, shit. And, like, he has a lot of energy. Like, you don't, like, when you're like that, like, he didn't, like, stop.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, my fucking God, this is, like, a big twist. So my, like, stable dad man starts becoming obsessed with Burning Man, and he gets into all of this, like, debt, and no houses are selling. So, like, stress, Burning Man, Substances. And then, like, he had all these massive houses. So, like, it looked like he was rich as shit. Like, everyone would be like, Madison's boyfriend is a billionaire. I'm like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
But he did have, like, almost maybe $1 billion worth of real estate. Yeah. But also there's investors and loans and all of this shit. So he started noticing, like, his reputation. All of these, like, trashy party people started thinking, like, oh, he's so cool. He has all these houses. And then he did have all these empty houses. So, like, what else is he going to do? He owns them. So, like, he would have some parties, invite all the random people. So it went from being, like, a guy that doesn't party at all to, like, this guy that has all this, like, shitty LA people around him.
Everyone.
Everyone.
I know. Everyone would show up.
Yeah. She knows him, too. We actually met in LA.
We did meet in LA. Yeah. And I've actually been to the house.
Yeah, she's been to the party. Houses. Yeah. And, like,
I think you guys were broken up, though.
Yeah, we were broken up at that point. Yeah, so she's seen all these crazy houses, and like a lot of the people were like pretty shitty people that were over there. Like
almost everyone, honestly.
Right? Yeah. Like low life, like kind of like moocher people.
Yeah.
And like he's already not adjusted to the party culture, so he doesn't like really know what's going on.
Honestly, it was a shit show.
Shit show.
A complete shit show. I was like, I love the house, but I don't even know if I want to go back there. It's like one time is enough. Thanks. Seen it. Bye.
Yeah.
Here again.
And the houses are cool. Like, I understand the girls want to, like, go take some selfie there. Yeah, no, like, maybe meet the owner. Yeah. Like, maybe meet some friends.
I don't think it's worth it.
Fuck. Yeah. So he started, like, losing his shit. Mm-hmm. Like, completely losing his shit. And the house that we were living in at that point, it was really cool. I think you went there. Like,
the pool?
Yeah. It had two swimming pools. The top one had, like, a lucite clear bottom so you could see everyone swimming. And there was a spa in there, and like I'm a yogi girl, like
hot yoga room.
So in this house, I designed a hot yoga room with all living walls, because like when you breathe with the plants, like you get you get fresh air, and the plants get fresh air. So like I designed this hot yoga room, all living walls with like a mirrored ceiling. Mm-hmm. I designed a hair salon in there. We had like a cryo chamber in there. Really cool stuff in this house. So like it looked like hot shit. I also designed a red room.
I was just gonna ask you what was behind that white wall?
Behind the white wall.
When
I met this guy, I was reading 50 Shades of Grey, and I was like, oh, cool. Like this guy reminds me of like the 50 Shades of Grey guy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, where's the red room? Like, where's the sex room? He's like, what? I've never heard of such a thing. Like, that's not a thing. I'm like, yeah, it is. No, he'd never heard of it. So then when I got the opportunity to like get my hands in the design process, I was like, I'm making a red room. I designed the coolest red room. I did like red leather padded walls, mirrored ceiling, like a round bed. Like it was sexy, like a swing thingy in there.
It was like behind like a hidden door, basically, which is like built in for the wall and you just push it open, right?
Yeah.
If I remember.
You couldn't see. Yeah. It was like we had a sensory deprivation pod.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. If you know, you know. We had like this float spa, and then like behind that, there was a wall. Yeah. Where like you could press one of the light bulbs and then the door would open.
Is that how it was?
Yeah, it was like.
I don't think I ever found it. I was like.
Yeah. Like when we would have parties, like I would hire some girl to work in the red room and like whip people or like tickle the people. Like so, if there's like a husband and wife, she would like flirt with the wife too, like to make it not awkward. And like people would be like, "I heard there's a red room in here." I'm like, "I don't know. Like if you find it, like."
I honestly think that this house was famous for the red room.
It
because
is.
If I was was at this cool house with the pools, they're like, huh? I'm like, with the red room. They're like, oh, the red room. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a good addition. And, like, when I Googled the house.
It made the whole house famous, right? For sure.
It is. Like, on Google, if you Google it, it's like, is there really a red room in this house?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. So, the house was wild. And we were living in that, like, when he kind of started to, like, lose his mind. So, that's a great party house. And, like.
Perfect party house.
Yeah. I made it a little bit, like, too approachable for, like, the party scene.
You unfortunately. Think so? Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. Never, ever make a red room in your house, because if you guys break up, it's going to fucking suck.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I had to, like, see all these girls, like, after we broke up, like, posting in my house. I'm like, oh.
I know. I honestly think I was one of them, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's just
everyone.
Everyone. Because it's a really cool house.
I was like, have you seen there's a hair salon? How cool. Like, there's a hot yoga room.
Yeah, the hair salon was cool. Yeah. In the mirror, like, I did this hidden TV in the mirror so that, like, if you pressed it, it would be like a TV.
Oh, really?
They could watch while I do the hair.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good job.
It was so fun. Yeah. And then COVID hit. And, like, everything kind of, like, went crazy. Like, people were, like, not buying houses. Yeah. Like, I broke up with the guy. Like, we were, like, breaking up. I'm trying to, like, break up with him. It was, like, really difficult.
Yeah.
Like, I'd been with him. I was, like, 29. I'd been with him from 22 to 29. And now I'm, like, yeah, I got to break up with him. Yeah. But I learned a lot. So I'm,
yeah,
like,
no, that's good. Yeah. Of course.
I was, like, oh, shit. This is going to be a hard breakup.
Never regret the relationship, so.
I know. And then on top of that, he's got my yoga room, my sex room, my hair salon. I'm like, fuck.
But, well, he doesn't have it now, does he?
No, yeah, I guess not.
So that's good.
This girl that I was doing hair with, she worked at the hair salon with me. Her dad was like kind of like a mobster type vibe, like from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Madison, like, your boyfriend reminds me a lot of my dad. And she's like, my dad was a big gambler. Mm-hmm. And she said that he would be like really rich and then marry some girl and then he'd like lose all his money.
Yeah.
And the girl would be married to him, so she'd take like half his debt or something. Mm-hmm. And like maybe the girl wouldn't be that smart, whatever. But she's like, Niall reminds me a lot of my dad. She's like, whatever you do, not marry him if he's in debt. So this thing like stuck with me a lot because I'm like, I'm smart enough to handle a relationship with this guy, but I'm not enough to handle like a high profile divorce.
Yeah.
Like divorce. Like I can't. So I kept that in my head forever. I'm like, okay, don't marry him if he's in debt. So we starts getting in like all of this debt. We were engaged at this point. Mm. And he was like, come on, let's get married.
How did he propose?
We were in Mykonos at Scorpios. It was so fun. We were like on a Euro trip with like a bunch of friends. And then we were at Scorpios, Mykonos. It's like the coolest little spot. And I think it was the first year that it opened. So it was like cooler then. I think it was like 2018 or 2017 or something like that. Yeah. So it was like really hot. And then he's like, I want to marry you. And I'm like, okay. So he proposed. And then I had like my ring and everything. And he called my mom and he called my grandma. He's like, we're getting married. For some reason, I was like, oh my God. I was like excited, but not like excited like you should be like if scared. You just get proposed. Yeah. Like I didn't call my mom. Like he called my mom to tell her. Like if I was like really excited, I would have been like, I'm getting married.
I think you were just scared.
I think I was scared.
Because it's not like normal relationship.
It was not normal.
It's very like high profile, and, you know.
I was so scared, I think. Right? And he was
for sure.
Yeah. So he told my mom, my grandma, my sister.
Hot stepmom.
Yeah, exactly. And then like during COVID, I just like was trying to like we were like pretty much breaking up. Like I was trying to like really separate myself from this. Like it was getting bad. Like I think he'd been to Burning Man the past 2 years and I went with him. I fucking hated it. We went for 8 days. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I did not like it.
8 days.
8 days with like a rager, like an old man, like rager. It was so unattractive to me. Like, I don't want to see some like guy, especially some old guy in like pink fuzzy vest, like heart shaped glasses. No. Like,
ugh, no, not when you're 50.
No.
No offense,
already no. Like already I'm like with an older guy. Like wear your black t-shirt and like be cool, but like not some cheetah print thong and Burning Man. Like it's too much for me. Too much for my soul. Then we're like breaking up and like he's really like starting to lose his fucking mind. Like I got my own apartment at this point where like I really was like
breaking. Was that an easy breakup?
No, it was impossible. It was like the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my entire life. So I finally got my own apartment and he kept like still trying to hang out with me. And like COVID happened. It was like March 13th area. And he's like, come on, just stay at one of our houses. You can't be in this little apartment during COVID. So I went and I stayed in one of our other houses and he was in the house with like the sex room and all of that. And
of course.
And he's like, come over, like have a threesome with me. I was like, ew, no, like I'm not going to do that. So he got like furious that I said no. And on that day, he was like, I'm going to ruin your life with no mercy. This is like a powerful guy that's like on a lot of substances and in his Burning Man trashy LA party era. And he was $100 million in debt at this time, too.
And you're losing your shit and not sober.
Losing his shit. So he's like, I'm going to ruin your life with no mercy. And I was like, hey, if the real estate thing doesn't work out, you can always get a job as a Disney villain. Like, you're fucking crazy. This was like March 27th, 2020. And he's like, come have a threesome with me. And I was like, ew, no, I'm already done. So that was on March 27th, 2020. And then I get a call from him 3 days later on March 30th, 2020. Uh-huh. And I was just expecting him to be like, hey, like, sorry, like, if you need anything, like, I'm here for you. Because that's how it always was. Like, yeah. He'd say some fucked up shit, and then three apologize, days later, call me and be like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Get to senses. So
I was like, hey, what's up? 3 days later, and he's like, Madison, I don't want to call you right now because I fucking hate you. But Lauren died. I just like screamed what a bunch of times. I didn't know if he was hallucinating or like what the fuck. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I heard people like laughing in the background. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he's like, who the fuck is Linda? Someone named Linda fucking texted me. I'm like, Linda is Lauren's mom. What happened? Wow. And he's like, they found her in her shower. She'd been there for 3 days. So the day, 3 days before when I said no, and he's like, I'm going to ruin your life.
Yeah, that happened.
I guess he like called Lauren. So Linda texted him. He sent me the screenshot and Linda was like, hi, Niall. Like, you were the last text on Lauren's phone.
Oh no.
And shit. Yeah. So what he replied to Linda was really fucking weird. He was like, what, how? She was supposed to be over at 9. He like, wasn't like,
yeah, like sad. Really it was, understanding. It was the really situation. Weird.
I'm like, what the hell? I've known Linda since I was 13. Yeah. Like, she'd caught us sneaking out. Like, she's like one of the most gorgeous ladies I'd ever seen. Lauren was like basically my only friend throughout those 7 years. Like, all I had time for. That's how I found out about my best friend in the entire world passing. And I was just so fucked up. Like, I never have talked to him ever again after that.
That was the last time.
That was the last time I ever talked to him after 7 years. And like the kids like loved Lauren. The next morning I was like, what the hell? Like I couldn't take a shower for like 2 weeks. I couldn't eat. And like I just went and like I moved to Mexico. Yeah, so I moved to Mexico with this like 20-year-old girl. I launched my bikini brand. I lived in Tulum for like 6 months. And I was living in a hotel, got my bikinis there and like started selling my bikinis in the shop in the hotel. I was just like so broken. I was like barely a shell of a person. Imagine. Yeah, I had to like redo my whole life. But in Mexico, it was the first time that I'd ever seen anyone wearing one of my bikinis that I didn't know. So like I would see these girls that I never met and they'd bought my bikinis that I designed. And I was like, oh my God, this is like so cute. Like, this is so sweet. So like then I started like really propelling my swimwear brand. I went to Costa Rica for 2 months. I was in Europe for the summer and like I just traveled and like reevaluated my life.
And
like
moved to Miami.
Completely redid it. And then I was in Miami for Art Basel. And I just, like, I had an Airbnb here that I hated. And then I started looking at apartments. It's in the building that we live in now. And then now, Jessica lives in Miami, in my same building.
Both been through shit.
We've both been through some shit.
And good.
Yeah. Good. So it took 2 years to, like, kind of regroup after that. And then here we are now. We are. Yeah. So.
And I love where we are. So.
We're in a really good spot now.
We are. Never honestly been happier.
Yeah. I know, even compared to, like, the fancy houses that I was in.
No, I would never
trade. Our apartment now is my favorite place I've ever been
in. I would never trade my life into what we had, what we thought we had, because this is nothing.
Exactly.
This is the best. Peace in mind.
Right? Like, having peace is the most valuable.
Yeah, I agree.
So that was my first episode, my first story. So then you guys get a little background, and we're going to have some more episodes, diving more into everything.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.